as the saying goes, knowledge is power. And if you're the navigator of a naval vessel, moving at over 70 miles per hour, you need to know in a flash where you are and where to go next. But when the cockpits of these boats, which are powered by four jet engines, were designed, no one knew whether the information being presented to the navigator on computer displays and instruments was easy to marry up with what was actually visible through the windows. Now we do.
Odd Sveinung Hareide, I'm a technical manager at the Royal Norwegian Navy Navigation Competence Centre. So the navigator of a high-speed craft like the Norwegian Navy Corvettes, which is known as the Shoal class, is quite demanding because inside the ship there is a lot of equipment. The navigator sits in a chair and in front of him he has three screens. And on these screens he's got the electronic charts, the radar and all type of sensors which are feeding into the system. So it's a complex environment to work in. And also, of course, the world around him is moving very fast because he's traveling at speeds up to 70 miles per hour. And he needs to control that the ship is in the right position all of the time. So he has to continuously monitor the position of the ship.
Therefore, one would be looking out of the window, comparing that to what the charts on the screen are saying and the radar images, and trying to put all of that information through that person, man or woman's mind, very quickly. How did you try to work out what the person was doing when they were doing that?
The method of collecting this information was the eye-tracking glasses, which is glasses that you fit the navigator. It looks like reading glasses. There are cameras that recognizes where the person looks. So if he looks outside, you get a hit on the outside, and if he looks at the screen, you get a hit on the screen. We did this both in sea trials and in simulator studies. We had approximately 4 hours of recording.
What patterns emerge? Where do the people look? Where do they spend most of their time staring at?
There's been a concern in the maritime community with regards to what they call the PlayStation mode, which is young navigators tend to rely on the information from the computer screen instead of looking out the window at the surroundings of the ship. So a worry was that a lot of the attention was with regards to the inside of the ships and displays. But what we found was that actually 65% of the time the navigator is looking outside and continuously monitoring the surroundings of the ship. But still 35% of the time is used looking at something else.
Can you get a sort of finer grained analysis out in the sense that if I was, say, looking at a map on my phone and then trying to work out if I was in the right place, I might look at the phone and then look back at the street and then look back at the phone to see if what I thought I'd seen was what I should be seeing. Can you see those sort of double journeys the eyes make back and forward between the equipment and the outside world to see how quickly people got the information and were able to process it?
When analysing the eye tracking data, this is one of the features that you can get, and we call it a look back. If you, for example, look at some of the equipment inside, you look outside, scan the environment, maybe you look at another equipment, but you look back at the same equipment. And it could be an indication of poor usability.
Because the people who design these user interfaces and the way data is displayed very often aren't the navigators or the pilots of these craft themselves. They're people who work with them occasionally and they present something that they think will be fit for purpose. But it's not till you actually get someone using it and you find, in fact, it's not as good as it could be.
That's a very good observation, Chris, and I totally agree. And it's a very important issue that the engineers that are designing the systems often hasn't been at sea at all. They are very good at designing complex systems, but they have never sat in the chair that has to take the ship forward.
And are you going to sort of close that audit loop now, where you've got your data, you know what they're not looking at, what's going on because they're looking at a computer screen, you know when that's happening. So can you or will you now be using that to optimise the way that the cockpit is formatted and the way that the data is displayed on these computer screens?
Yes, this process is called a human-centered design process. So what we are doing now with the Corvettes is that we have them for retrofit. So now we have collected this data and we have seen some things that need to be adjusted to make the navigator's job easier. So in the retrofit process, this is being done and hopefully this will benefit the navigator in his work.
And lastly, mobile phones and people driving have got enormous attention, especially here in the UK. And people are saying it's because they're very complicated to use, very fiddly, and it takes people's attention away. It's the same problem, isn't it?
It's the exact same problem, and that's why it's important that we take a better look and understand better how this should work, and especially designing the human into the technology. Remember that they have to interact.
Odd Swining Haruja. You're listening to The Naked Scientists with me, Chris Smith, and with Georgia Mills, and we're looking at the navigation technology that's taking us from here into the future.
Coming up, how do we find our way in space, and what happens if a driverless car gets hacked?